Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. Thank you all for coming back here this morning to celebrate and worship with us. This morning, I wanted to actually go ahead and start. We have a, and this may, you may be from a church background and perhaps not, where we read prayers together. Now, you may have grown up in a tradition where you do that and then thought, why in the world do we do that? And then maybe you stopped, and I just wanted to encourage you that if every week we sing worship songs, which are just prayers with music that other people wrote, we should be able to also read together prayers that godly men and women wrote for us and for the church, and most importantly, for Jesus Christ himself. And so this is actually a prayer from a book called The Valley of Vision, which is a collection of Puritan prayers. I'm going to just pray this now. If you want to read along with me, I encourage you to do that. The words will be on the screen. But if you just don't feel like you want to join along verbally or audibly in that, and you just want to pray this prayer silently, we encourage you to do that as well. So please pray with me. O source of all good, what shall we render to thee for the gift of gifts, thine own dear Son, when we were undone, with no will to return to him and no intellect to devise recovery? He came, God incarnate, to save us to the uttermost, as man to die our death, to shed satisfying blood on our behalf, to work out a perfect righteousness for us. O God, take us in spirit to the watchful shepherds and enlarge our minds. Let us hear good tidings of great joy, and in hearing, believe, rejoice, praise, and adore. Place us with ox, donkey, camel, and goat to look with them upon our Redeemer's face, and in him account ourselves delivered from sin. Let us with Simeon clasp the newborn child to our hearts, embrace him with undying faith, exulting that he is ours and we are his. In him thou hast given us so much more that heaven can give no more. Amen. Now please listen as I read here from Luke chapter 2, the account of the birth of Jesus Christ. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration where Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, that every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of two turtle doves, two young pigeons. And now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for your glory to your people Israel." Amen. Please remain standing here and join with me as we read Matthew 1, 18 through 25 together. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. You may be seated, and I will continue here reading in Matthew 2 and following. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Now, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where that child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by the night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by these wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that had been ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled from what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. Our last reading here this morning is from the Gospel of John in John chapter 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now there was a man sent from John whose name was John, or there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.' For from him, or from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." This morning, as we take time here, and again, I appreciate and I welcome all of you, and thank you all for coming here this morning to celebrate with us and worship with us. Again, this is something that doesn't happen often, although I must say, wearing slippers and cozy socks and having a big chair might be a temptation to do every Sunday, but I won't. I don't like to move around too much. Even the chair is a little constraining in that regard, but it squeaks. If you don't know who I am, by the way, I'm Pastor Mike. I'm not just some random guy in the chair. Okay, so my name is Pastor Michael Labovich. I'm the lead pastor here at Grand Rapids Evangelical Free Church. And we did. We just want to welcome you here this morning. Thank you for coming with us. If you are new with us, we actually have done a four-week series here, actually now the fifth week, of an Advent called the Invitation of Advent. And last night we talked about how Advent literally means to come or to arrive. Now, a cool thing that I found out with the Advent candles, by the way, and I had never known this, that actually tradition states that the Sundays after Christmas Eve, that is Christmas Day and following, the Christ candle should be the only candle, because at that point, Christ has now fulfilled everything else. And so that's actually why we have the other candles removed. So what's cool is that I've been doing, you know, Advent services and been a part of it in my childhood for, you know, over, you know, 35 plus years now. And I didn't even know that. So that is why we have one single candle now here lit this morning, because Christ, of course, is the light of the world and he is the fulfillment. And really the question that we have to ponder here this morning is simply this: how will you know God through Jesus Christ this Christmas? That's really kind of what we've been talking through all these several weeks, and here's why. Because as we've looked at each of these candles and we've looked at everything that they represent, I hope and I pray that you have gotten to know maybe a facet of who God is that you haven't known him before. Or maybe it's a way that you particularly need to know God here in this season. For example, the first one, the prophets, the prophecy, that Jesus Christ is not just the last and greatest prophet, though he certainly is that, but Jesus Christ is the Word of God incarnate. He's not just a human being who got the Word of God. He is God's Word. And maybe that's what you need from God this season. Maybe you need to hear God's Word. Maybe you need to read his Word. Maybe you are craving answers in your life and you don't know where to find them. Find them in the one who speaks the voice of God, because he is the voice of God, Jesus Christ himself. the second week, Bethlehem, where Matt Gross did a wonderful job taking us not only to look at Bethlehem, but looking at the symbolism of the faith candle as well, and what it looks like to have faith in the Lord and to trust him, even when we have insecurities or doubts or don't even trust ourselves. We may think we are so ordinary and we fall so short, because we are ordinary. And we do fall short, and yet we put our faith in God to trust and believe in him. And just as God does that in us, so he did it with that little city of Bethlehem. That Bethlehem was this ordinary little place that David certainly had been born from, but had kind of been forgotten in history. And then Jesus Christ, who was known as this heir of David's throne, was born. Why? Because, of course, he is the true Messiah, King, to rule and reign. And maybe you need to know Jesus. Maybe you need to know God as ruler of your life this year. You know, when I was in high school, and I've told this many times, that I understood, I knew who Jesus Christ was as my Savior. I gave my life to Christ, but I was totally not in obedience to any way that he told me to live. The reason for that is mostly because I'd grown up in my Lutheran church, and truly, literally, in terms of behavioral living for God, I knew no sex, no drugs, no drinking, no Mormonism. That's it. That's what I knew. And so everything else that could kind of be in the gray areas around those things, I did with full joy and fervor, and it was sin, and so I was broken and terrible and ruined my life and several other people's lives, and it was really a mess. And that kind of continued on, as many of you know, that trajectory continued on, because though I knew Christ as my Lord and Savior, I did not know him as King. I did not know him as the one that I wanted to devote my life to. Certainly, I did want to devote my life to him, and that's why, by God's grace, I'm the man sitting before you here today. Because my love did drive me to him, but I needed to likewise worship him and serve him and do what it took to serve him, no matter the cost and sacrifice. So maybe you need to know Christ is King here this Christmas. Maybe the next week we talked about Christ as shepherd. That the shepherds not only give great joy in celebrating Jesus Christ, but the shepherds really point to the fact that Jesus himself is the good shepherd. He is the one who leads us to green pastures. He is the one who calls us to lay down by still waters. He is the one who lays down his own life to save the sheep, to save you and I. He feeds us, he leads us, and he lays down his life for us. Maybe you need to know the comfort and the love and the nourish and the care of God through Jesus Christ this Christmas. Maybe you need to just simply hear that the Lord is your shepherd. In him you shall not want. Then, of course, last week we had looked at the angels, that the angelic host worship and serve Jesus Christ. And maybe here this Christmas, you need to simply just know the one, this God-man who is fully God and fully man, this one that the angels serve and worship. Maybe you just simply need to know who he is and serve him and worship him. Maybe Christ has saved you. Maybe your life is fully in line with the way he's living, but you're doing nothing for him. You're not serving his kingdom. You come and you do lip service, but truly, though you claim and that your heart is close to him, it is far from him, because there is no worship and service and expression of that in your life. I would urge you, cause Christ in you to fan the flame of faith within you. Worship and serve him as the angels do. Come alongside of them, the one that the angels point to in glory and might and love. And maybe, as we talked about last night, you need to know Christ as Emmanuel, God with us, the one who knows you better than you know yourself, the one who knows your gunk and your sin and your failures, and that's why he came to die for you, to save you. That our grossness is not a surprise to him. It, in fact, is the catalyst for his salvation. It's what drove him. His love for us drove him to take on the form of a servant, that he would take our sins and our punishment for us to give us life. And next week, actually, we have a sixth day of Advent. It's technically called the second Sunday of Advent. And next week, we'll be looking at Christ as light, that he is the light of the Gentiles, as we read this morning in Simeon's prophecy over him, that he would be the light to the world. Maybe you need to know Jesus Christ as light, Maybe you have been so consumed by spiritual darkness, by depression, by doubt, by fear, that you feel there is no hope in this world. And the truth is, there is no hope in this world. There is nothing here that can save you, but there is one who came here to save you, and his name is Jesus. Maybe perhaps you need the light of the world, or the Lord is stirring you to bring the light of the world to this dark place. As we saw so well through our tradition here of last night of that candlelight service, that Christ's light within us made this whole building just glow with candlelight. And it was all a symbolism. It was all to show that light, that Christ in us, that we through him are the light of the world. And through us to Christ, the world can have hope and life and light. So that's a simple question. How will you know God through Jesus Christ this Christmas? As we continue to pray and worship here this morning, let those thoughts dwell on you. And I would even urge you to just simply write down prophet, word, king, shepherd, divine one, Emmanuel, light. How do you need to know God through Christ this Christmas, through this one in the manger? Let's pray. So God, we thank you that you have sent your Son to not only show us who you are in the flesh, the fullness of God and man, but to redeem us and rescue us and give us new life, that we may worship him and follow him and through him know you, Lord, alone for all eternity. God, thank you for Jesus. I pray this morning, Lord, that you cause us this Christmas, if we do not know you, if anyone in this room does not know you, Lord, that they would stop the lip service and simply give their lives and heart to you, that they would know you, Emmanuel, God with us, that they would stop running and give their lives to you. And Jesus, for we who do know you, my prayer is that you cause us to know you as prophet, priest, word incarnate, as king, messiah, ruler, as shepherd, savior, nourisher, as the divine one, the power and majesty and glory, as Emmanuel, God with us, as the light of the world. Lord, cause us to know you all the better this day and every day forward, and cause us to serve you and love you in worship for you alone. In your name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. On the night before he died, Jesus had said this in a prayer to the Lord. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, and in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you love me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. We invite you, of course, to come back and worship with us next Sunday here in 2023 on January 1st. But right now, please receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord cause his countenance to fall upon you and give you his peace. May you know the Prince of Peace this Christmas. May you celebrate him and worship him. As you commune and gather with family and friends, may you be drawn to worship him, the one who has come to save you and redeem you and give you life everlasting in the full. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God, and Merry Christmas.